Wow, that's awesome. As you know, I'm a family man, so I love new members of the family. So that's so cool. And thank you, Pastor Yvette, for pouring out all those blessings. Because I'm telling you, I feel like I need to be like Moses, you know, when he got his arms propped out, when she says, like, extend your arms. And she's like, blessing and blessing and blessing. I need Carolyn, hold my arm, please. You know, it's awesome. Man, what a woman. What a woman of God. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's my privilege to share the word with you this morning and the word that God has put on my heart to share with you. And that's really cool because God shows me this stuff and I get to share it with you, which is awesome. So, you know, I hope you're blessed this morning and you're expectant to receive something special this morning. So can we just pray before we start? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you love us, that you are a good, good Father. Lord, I thank you for every single person in this room, every single person in the sound of my voice. I thank you that you are the giver of good gifts. You're a perfect Father, and you are unchanging. And Lord, I ask today, Lord, that you would open our eyes. You would unblock our ears and you would soften our hearts. That according to your word, Lord, that you'd give us a heart of flesh and you'd place your spirit inside of us to receive what you have today for us, for your children. Daddy, we want to honor you. We love you. We want to just surrender this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Nathan was right. Christmas is only 2 weeks away. Anyone a big fan of Christmas here? It's the most wonderful time of the year. I won't do that for everyone there. But yeah, I love Christmas. And if you've ever been around my house at Christmas time, my wife loves Christmas. You go to our house, it's like Santa's grotto in there. There's like all decorations everywhere and it's really amazing. But it's my favorite time of the year and our family, we love Christmas as well. And obviously at Christmas time, you have this mad thing on Christmas Day where if you've had small children, they just go on steroids. You know what I mean? They're like up at like 5 o'clock in the morning or even 4:30 and they're just... You know, they want to come into your room, they want to wake you up, but they know it's still too early and they're just on that threshold of, you know, waiting for the sun to come up and they're like, you know, sneak around and look what's under the tree and everything. And then there comes the opening and it's bedlam. It's like, you know, banshees going off and screaming and, I got this and I got this. And it just escalates louder and louder and this is like, mad ripping of paper everywhere and shouting and lifting up this and they absolutely love it. Then they get withdrawals. Everything's open. And then comes the crash. It's looking for something to unwrap. So like there's nothing left to unwrap. They play with all their things and they love all their toys and everything like that. They're really grateful for what they get. But sometimes at Christmas, well, after Christmas, especially after all the presents are unwrapped and everything's been, you know, played with or experienced, we generally speak to one another after Christmas of, what did you get for Christmas? You say that to one another? So what did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? And the focus always seems to be about what you got. And Christmas is all about what he gave. So our hearts should be, what did we give for Christmas? And church is a bit like Christmas as well in a way. You know, sometimes we can come to church and it's about, well, what did we get out of it? What did we get? You know? Ooh. I didn't get much out of it today. Oh, the worship was terrible. Oh my goodness, you know. I really didn't get nothing out of it, you know. I hope it's better next week. And we've inherited some of that kind of speaking from the world. When really we should be like, I went to church and I gave this. God loves a cheerful giver. You see, God is a generous giver. God loves to give. And the problem is that most of the time, because our focus is on ourselves, we get disappointed because we have false expectations. And it leads us, you know, either in jubilation or despair. And so we're only as good as how we experience things, what we get out of them. And we're never in that place about what we gave, because there's a joy that comes from giving. There's a grace that comes from giving. God is a giver. And when we partner with God in giving, we actually share in his nature, for it's his nature to give. He's the giver of all good things. And so giving is the best opportunity to be like God. But we don't think that way because we're taught by the world how to get what you can. What am I getting out of it? What's in it for me? You know, Jesus wasn't like that, was he? No. So you see, Christmas is all about giving. And now I know that some of you here, who here recognizes they've got the gift of generosity? Come on, don't be shy. Put your hands up. Yep. See, I love you guys. You guys are awesome because you get it. And it's a grace. It's a grace from God. It's a grace that comes from the gift of generosity. And you feel so alive when you're giving to others. You know, when you give to others. And it's actually a spiritual gift we find in the book of Romans in chapter 12, verse 6. But as I said before, that this grace is available to everyone. The grace of giving, the grace of generosity. Whether it be your time, whether it be your finances, whether it be your service, a giving of yourself. See, when we step into the nature of God with giving, his grace empowers us to do that. It's his power that works through us to be a generous giver. And sometimes when we've got a hard heart, we can be stingy and we can hold back. But the fact is that we're missing being filled with the grace of God and being empowered to become more like him when we hold back, when we become stingy. See, that's why I never get it when I never had an issue with tithing in church. Well, it wasn't a problem for me, you know. But I see that some people sometimes have a real issue. And I'm not talking just in this church. I'm talking in the church body. There's a problem with giving, you know. And so they say, well, how much is enough? And, you know, is 10%? And when you're already there, you've already missed it. When you're already, like, deciding what amount should I give and should I do it before tax or after tax, it's like you've missed the whole point. Giving is a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. He wants to empower you with himself so you can be a blessing to others. Do you hear me? Yeah? Am I speaking to anyone? So I want to encourage you, you know, if money is an idol in your life, which it can be, there's many things that can be idols. The best way to get free of that idol is to give. It's like when we were praising and worshiping before. Yes, your circumstances may be terrible or whatever like that, but when you surrender to God and say, I'll worship you no matter what, then you're empowered to be free from those circumstances and those situations. Sometimes we don't give because we feel we're not going to get anything back in return. So today, I want to actually have a look at God the Giver. God the Giver. Let's have a look at some of the examples of God the Giver. He gives life. We see in 1 Timothy 6:13, Job 33:4, and John 6:33. You can check out these references if you want. If you want to write them down, it's up to you. He gives wisdom. He gives strength. I love this one. He gives us the victory. And because he gives us the victory, he gives us peace. He also gives us increase. God wants to bless you. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you increase. And he wants to give you increase because from the increase that you receive and the blessing that you receive, you can be a blessing to others. He gives beauty for ashes, oil of joy for those who mourn, and garments of praise. He gives you a future and a hope. And he gives you a crown of righteousness. He's given all that to you. But as we come to Christmas time, we see that God is the ultimate giver because he gave us his son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You can check out all the religions in the world. You can line them all up with one another. You can see all the different gods. But there is not a God on the face of this earth that gives like our God. He is the ultimate giver, and he has held nothing back from you. And he's willing to give you all things. It says, if he's given us his son, will he not give us all things? And so, God gave his son, as we read in Isaiah. But have you ever wondered why God gives? Why God gives so much? I mean, your air in your lungs, the very fact that you can see, hear, touch, taste, smell, the very fact that you have love, joy, happiness, all these types of things, the beauty of all these gifts, everything piling upon you, all demonstrating his grace, his mercy, his goodness, his generosity. Why does he do all this? Does anyone know? God gives because God loves. God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gives because he loves. And I think sometimes we struggle with giving because we don't love. And even when we do give, it has strings attached. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what reward is that? We give to others in hope that there's a reciprocation. But God doesn't give like that. Can you see that? Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God gives because he is love, full stop. And love gives without any account of itself. That's a love that I want to be a part of. That's the love that wants to burn deep inside of me and change my world around to bring the transformation of life. God didn't give his son so you could pray a prayer and one day end up in heaven. God gave his son to fill you with his love and transform you. And we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and I want to show you something in Ephesians that actually backs all this up. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. The first line there. But because of his great love for us, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is grace, by grace you have been saved. So even when you were dead to God, even then when you didn't care about God, you didn't want anything to do with him, you wanted your own things, you took every gift that God gave you and you coveted it for yourself. You said, that's mine, this is mine, this is mine. And you had nothing to do with him. His great love, he still gave. Because he's not rattled by your selfishness. It doesn't change who he is. And nor should it change you when people don't give back what you've given them. To be in the nature of God is to be like him and love like him with no strings attached. Because of his great love for us, God gave us Christ. And God raised us up with Christ and sealed us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We are sealed. It is set by his love. He's given it. You're set in it. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, when I first became a Christian, I didn't have this reality in my life. I received God's grace and mercy, but then I thought I had to pay it back. And some of you here still think that as well. See, God's grace and his mercy and his love is to transform you. It's pride that puts us in a position where we think we have to pay back. So we don't owe anything. So that we can work out it all out for ourselves. It's because of God's great love that we receive the grace to be saved. Because we were dead to God, as I said, but made alive in Christ through the forgiveness of sins. And this is another key thing. Not only did God give, but he also forgave to us. God not only gave, but he also forgave to us. And I know what you're thinking. Matt, that's a typo. It's not a typo. Just going to have a drink of water while you stew on that. I love the study of words. I think it's called etymology. The word forgive comes from an old English word, forgiven, which itself made up of two words. Gifan, meaning give, and for, meaning completely. Another meaning of forgiven is to give in marriage. So this one word of forgiveness, hear me on this, is rooted in the union of two ideas. To give completely and to give in marriage. See, when God gave, he also forgave to us. He also gave himself completely to us. I mean, think about it. This is the God of heaven and earth, the ruler of heaven. He could have come in any other way, yet he gave himself completely to be born through a woman, 9 months in the womb. This is unfathomable. He gave himself completely to go through growing and understanding who he is and being tired and being hungry and all these different things, experiencing everything that we experience, tempted in every way the same as us, but without sin. And so we see a God who on the cross, through his life and through his birth, gives himself completely to us. And when we recognize God's goodness and generosity towards us, all that he has given us, we see his love and we see that he is love. Can you see that? I'm getting a few blank stares here. See, we always come to church and we always come to God as though that we are giving something to him. And that's true, but we should never let that supersede the fact that he's given first. And your circumstances and your situations cannot change that fact. That is a truth that is written in Scripture. That is a truth that is written in the books of history. That is a truth demonstrated through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So God's big, I love you and I give myself completely to you, is through the cross, is through his life, is through his birth. And everything we read in this book is God screaming to you, I love you, I give myself completely to you. You have to get this in your spirit today, because otherwise you're going to be serving a God you don't know. And I want your eyes to be open to this understanding, because when you receive his love this way, it will transform you. You won't need people so that you're okay. You won't need from other people love so that you can be accepted. You won't have to have all your circumstances and situations perfect and glassy seas to be okay. Because the power of the living God, the love of God, compels you, transforms you, renews you, changes you into the image of himself, because you become united with him as a husband and wife, and the two become one flesh. Do you hear me this morning? This is for you, church. This is for you. See, we see that God forgave us completely, gave himself to us through Jesus Christ. And when we say yes, when we accept that truth, when we take hold of that truth by faith, grace works through faith. And we receive a love that covers a multitude of sins, that washes as white as snow. Even the things you can't forgive yourself for, God has already forgiven them. You won't be brought for account for them. And not only that, this is the beautiful part. It's that when you truly receive that, you become a child of God and you get the privilege of forgiving others. Giving yourself completely to others. You owe no man no debt apart from the debt of love. And it's so freeing, because no one owes you anything. You are his. You're bulletproof. You're free. And it's that truth that sets you free. It's not the truth of whether all your circumstances and situations are good. It's not the truth of whether all your relationships are going well. It's not the truth if people are treating you right or not treating you right. It's the truth of God's love that sets you free. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh, this is so cool. I love this. My goodness. See, we become his bride, united with him. Guys, you're a bride. Get the dress on. I'm joking. He will clothe you with righteousness and put on a garment of praise. And even if your body is being beaten and tortured, even if your life has been taken from you, it can't move you because Christ can't be torn out of your heart. This is why the Apostle Paul was able to do what he did, because he says, the love of Christ compels me. This is why Peter and that were all in the jail and they had their backs flogged and they were bruised and they were battered and they weren't there going, oh, this was a bad idea. You know, following this Jesus really gave me a lot of pressure, a lot of trouble. They were worshiping God and the whole jail shook. And the chains broke and they were set free. And maybe by getting this revelation in our spirits, we can be set free as well. Set free of the past, set free of people, set free of ourselves and our expectations. As I said, God gave himself completely so we could become united with him and filled with him. To be filled with him. And I want to just rest on this concept at the moment of being filled with him. What does it mean to be filled with God? Does it mean we speak in tongues or, you know, shake or, you know, prophesy or heal the sick or raise the dead? Because we look at that stuff and we go, wow, that person's filled with the Spirit. That person's filled with the power of God. But you know, Corinthians doesn't speak about it that way. It says, you can have faith to move all mountains. Not just some, all mountains. And you can give all your riches to the poor. But if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. You've got nothing. Because whether we know it or not, our motivations didn't come from the heart of God. You know, I thought I was okay with God by what I did for him. So I can say, yep, I'm one of his chosen because I act like one of his chosen. But God wants me to be his chosen. Not just to do ministry or just to preach or to do any of this stuff, but to be filled with the fullness of him. And this was the Apostle Paul's prayer in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. And if you're there, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his generous riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Didn't say some of the fullness, look. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, it's not how much I know in my head. It's about how much I know in my heart about how much God loves me through his Son. And that knowledge fills me with the fullness of God. He dwells in me. And I receive that by faith, and I'm going to camp there, and I'm not going to move from it any longer. No longer is my identity going to be shipwrecked over me or over you or over my circumstances and my situations, because God has set it in place. It's already done. And we receive that by faith. And in faith, you stand firm. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, his truth, girded your loins, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord, and the shield of faith. And every single fiery dart that comes will be extinguished, because I hold that shield of faith up high. He's so good to us, amen? And he fills us with himself. You see, when God fills us with himself, it actually goes back to how he created us to be. See, you were created in the image and likeness of God. And God is love. And when we ate of the tree, we got separated from that. And we became needing love from everywhere. And so every generation from there was trying to fill itself from empty cups and broken vessels. But you see, God was planning all the time through Christ to bring us back to himself. And God had to give himself completely to us as the last stand and say, I am for you. I'm not against you. I love you. You are mine. I gave you my Son. I will give you all things. And the Spirit that comes alive in us is Abba, Father, Daddy. I am your Son. Did you know all of you here are God's gift to the world? You may not think. You know, some people that I'm God's gift to women or whatever like that. No, you are God's gift to the world. You are his best. You are his chosen. And we let the devil give us such a rap. We believe his lies so readily and get condemned. And think, oh, that's not for me. That's for someone else. That's for the preacher. You know? I'm sure God didn't have in his heart for us to just attend church week after week, give some money, maybe do a bit of service, and then go to heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing those things. But there is so much more. You are a move of God. You are a holy people. There is so much dynamite inside each and every one of you. The fullness of God, if you grab hold of the love of Christ, will be in you and will fill you more and more, and it's everlasting, never-ending, eternal. And this is life, that they may know you and your Son whom you sent, Jesus Christ. As we read in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God had already prepared for you. Prepared in advance for you to get a hold of this. Right now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to receive his grace. Through faith. to be empowered to walk how he walked, to live how he lived. The days of frustration and anger and disappointment are gone. Because what does that all matter now? How do I do that, you might be asking? Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You may have had people have hurt you, betrayed you, circumstances not your way. We could all sit around and get a story off everyone, yeah? And we can all sit around and compare and who's got the worst story. Does that change anything? Does that bring life? Why does that story have to stop you from stepping into his story? So, how do we do that? We follow God's example by giving. We give. And those people who you deal with, whether it's a boss at work or whether it's a relative or a family member, everything you give is given unto God as a sacrifice, as a fragrant offering, because God loves those people too. He gave himself for those people as well. Even the most horriblest, heinous people you could possibly imagine, Jesus still died. And maybe someone needs to unwrap the gift that they are. See, God gave me this vision of all of you sitting here like little parcels, all wrapped up with like nice bows and, you know, all nice wrapping. But it's the wrapping that we've covered ourselves with. Some wrapping's not so nice because other people have wrapped it for us. Do you hear what I'm saying? Other people have put stuff on us, and we've put stuff on ourselves. But I believe God this morning wants to unwrap you by the power of his Holy Spirit. He wants to open you up and give you to the world and send you out as his gift over this Christmas season. That you can be the light of the world. No one can put a basket over you. No one can dim you. Because being rooted and grounded with him, you'll be burning all the more brighter. Now I'm going to step out in faith. So this could get interesting. I'd like to ask some of the guys in the prophetic team to join me up here. And God wants to unwrap some people today. And what we're going to do, we're going to be asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And you might get singled out for an unwrapping, but it's all good. Because it's not condemnation, it's not judgment. It's calling out the beautiful gift that you are, that he created you to be. Lord, I thank you for your beautiful people, the ones that are precious in your sight. Every single person here you gave your life for. You gave yourself completely to them. And we want to call that which you've given to light. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal those things that others may not see. And Lord, right now we lay down every account that everyone owes us. We freely forgive every single person And we ask to be filled with the fullness of you, which is your love for us. In Jesus' name. Diane, I just had the word for you that my daughter is as bold as a lion. And that's the truth inside of you that he's waiting to unlock. And that you receive that this morning, that you are bold because he makes you bold. You are not living in fear. You are not bound by anything. You are as righteous and as bold as a lion. Feel the roar inside of you, and it's his roar. And you will overcome all things in him.
Deborah, the Lord shows me that you are his rock and that he is your rock and that he hides you in his rock and he covers you and he strengthens you and he comforts you and he's there for you always and he wants you to remember that he has set your foot upon a rock, and he wants to build on you so that you can be a strong foundation in the lives of others. Be blessed.
In Ezekiel 11, it says, "And I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take away their hearts of stone and give them tender hearts instead. So they will obey my laws and regulations. Then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God." And God just revealed to me how he does that. He does that through faith in Jesus Christ. If you read the preceding chapters there, it's horrific where God makes accusations, say, "You don't do this and you don't do that." And sometimes we do that with ourselves. We say, "But I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I can't speak, and I can't evangelize, and I can't pray, and we've got all these things. But how do I get to that place where it talks about that intimate relationship, the marriage that Matt referred to, is by Jesus Christ. It's him doing it in us. And all that we have to do is say, "Lord, please, I'm available. Please do it for me. I can't do it myself."
Would you mind just saying that again? People struggle to hear you.
Sorry. Do I need to read it again? God gives us a promise. He says that he will give us a new heart. He will make us brand new. He will make us exactly what he wants us to be. And I look at myself. I look at my wrapping and I'm way off where he wants me to be. But it's not me that needs to be that. It's him that makes me that. All that I can do is cry out to him and say, "Lord, come and do that in me. Come and make me that perfect gift that you want me to be." And he's done it. He's done it through Christ. Christ has come and died so that I can be rid of all these things that I shouldn't be and don't want to be. He's already done it, but I just have to say, "Lord, come and do it day by day. Come and do more of that in me. Lord, I'm a bit impatient. Please come help me with that. I cannot help before I get myself, I'm upset. Lord, work in me." And then in time you look back and you see, wow, but things are busy changing because God is faithful. He does it.
I'm a hands-on person, so I'm heading down. All right, Isaiah 43 says, JT, "But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary." So I want to bless you with the gift of waiting on the Lord. I want to bless your life, every part of it, with the strength of an eagle to be able to fly like an eagle does. And I would encourage you to go and check out all the amazing properties that eagles have. When they stretch their wings out in the sun, that's where they get their power from. When you stretch your wings out in the sun of Jesus Christ, that's where your power comes from. So I bless you with the ability to wait on the Lord.
Cool. I actually had a word for you, Pastor Chris. It's very simple. He said, stand firm. And then the scripture to go with that is, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong.
Okay, so I've got a couple of people. So, Eben, God says that you are his man of honor and integrity, and you are his gentleman. And so I bless you to be the man of honor and integrity that he has blessed you to be. I bless you to be his gentleman, and I bless you to step up into the position that he has called you to take. Deborah, you are an incandescent light, and you shine so brightly and so beautiful. But a light bulb is fragile, and sometimes it gets really hot. So God's put Christ all around you like a clear shade, and you are protected. He's got you, and he's proud of you. Hi, Beverly. Good to meet you. God's got his hand on your life, and he's called you to be a strong warrior, and he sees you as that, and he's given you great wisdom. So he's looking to see you step up and use that.
I had a picture for a specific couple, but God then showed me that there's many people that it actually applies for. So pretty much he gave me a picture of standing on the edge of a pool. And so, you know, generally getting in a pool, it's like, well, you know, you get in slowly and you get in step by step. And there's people that they get in and they dip their foot and they go, oh, no. Nah. And that's it. And then, you know, they'll kind of go into the next step and then they'll stay there for a while and then they'll get out again. And I feel that that's for in God's presence and in ministry and things that God is actually calling them to do. So they step into the will of God and then they step out again and then step in again and step out again. And what God's actually wanting is for you to jump in the deep end, like jump in and do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be, you know, like, oh, I, you know, oh, God, I want to follow you. Oh, no, oh, And sorry, it's a bit. But I know, you know, it's hard. It's hard to do what God is asking you to do sometimes. You know, there's fear. There's things, you know, oh, what will people think or what will people say? And you just have to just get over it, really. And trust God and believe God and have faith in God that if he's calling you to do that and he's calling you to jump in the deep end, that he's going to help you swim and he's going to provide that step for you, that ledge. You know, trust God.
Just quickly, it's a word for the church that we want to fix ourselves before we go to Christ. Just got that. We stand here and we want to get rid of lust and sin and everything. And then we want to go to Jesus. See, now we're good enough. But it doesn't work that way because the sin just jumps back on. On your own strength, you can't do it. So as you draw near to him, I see him on the cross. It's like your sin sticks to his blood. I know that sounds strange. But as you draw near to him, it's almost like your sin is a magnetic. It's like magnetic that draws to Christ and he takes it from you.
Amen.
You can't fix yourself. Don't think you're going to first fix yourself and cleanse yourself and get yourself right and then Christ will accept you. No, it is with him that you are accepted. It is in Him that you are made like Him. And as you are drawing near to Him and you stay close to Christ, then your sin goes into Christ and you are made whole. So don't try and fix yourself. Go to Him. Let Him help you. Okay.
Kevin, Carlos, God says He's got your back. That's all that He says.
I've just got two words. Neil, the Lord says that He sees you and He hears you. And you're in a place where you're not seen and not heard. But that is not the truth. And God is going to move you out into a place where you will be seen as His light and His salt. So, Father God, I bless Neil with being the light and being the salt of this earth. Thank you, Lord, that you hear him. Thank you, Father, that you see him and that you know the cry of his heart. And I bless him, Lord, with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. And the last one for me, Indy. Jesus has a plan for your life, a purpose, a hope, and a future. You are made beautifully, and He cares for you deeply, and He's inviting you to journey with Him. You don't have to do it on your own. He loves you. Father, I just pray over Indy, and I bless her with your love, and that she will understand it in full measurement, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, guys. As I said before, this is not about what we get. It's about what we give. So I don't want anyone to walk away from here thinking, oh, I didn't get anything. You know what I'm saying? What we're going to do, we're going to, Tara's going to lead us with broken vessels. And I want to ask if there's anyone here today that truly wants to give. And give their life to Christ completely to be united with Him. I want to invite you to stand forward and we want to pray with you. And if you haven't, sorry. Yeah, sure. And if you want to come forward and you need prayer and you want to, you actually say, look, I get all this, but I just something's blocking me. Something's blocking me from receiving. We want to pray with you as well. Okay? And Juanita's just got a word she wants to just quickly share.
While I was sitting down, I just got a vision of the Lord, the cloak that Joseph wore, many colors. Now, God has made a cloak for all of you, and He wants to put it on. The colors that He made, they will not fade. They will go through what you go through. You will go through the pit, out, up, and down. But God is asking you, can He put that on you? Because those colors are the cloak that He has made. Can He put that on you? Because He understands what you are going through. So I just encourage you, let God put that colored cloak on you, that the colors will never fade away, no matter what you go through. God is there.
Awesome. Thank you, Juanita. So we're going to ask the worship team to take it away for us, and if you just want to be in worship with us, this will be the last song, and then we invite you for tea, coffee, love to chat if anyone wants to talk or whatever and catch up. But like I said, if you want to give your life to Christ right now, if you feel that you haven't completely committed to receive His love, His forgiveness, and you want to give yourself to that, then please step forward. And if you need prayer, we want to pray for you as well. But aside from that, I want to bless you guys to go out and be gift unwrappers. To go out shining in this world, to be the move of God, to be His best, to be those who bring people out of darkness into light. So happy unwrapping, guys.